through the book of Mark. Betsy has taken you over the last couple of weeks, beginning with the author of Mark and beginning with the fact of what Mark was doing and how he was fashioning it and the direction in which he is going. And I apologize for not being here the last 2 weeks, but I thoroughly have enjoyed reading and researching and being back into the Gospel of Mark to be reminded of what a beautiful passage of Scripture this is and how applicable it is for our lives today in 2016. You see, one of the things that I love about Scripture is it's not just so that we can know more or check it off our list or not so that we can become puffed up, but it's about what it is that I can do to discover and learn more about God and who He is and how I can live a life that reflects Him, that grows in obedience to Him and demonstrates my love for Him. You know, it says in the book of 1 John, if you love me, you will obey me. And I bet if I went around the room and I asked every single one of you in this room, do you love God? You would probably all say, yes, I do. Then let me ask you, how are you doing on the obedience level? Because you see, the Word of God is meant to be a vehicle that God gave to us because He loves us so much, so we can learn how to live a life that honors Him and glorifies Him, falls more in love with Him, and knows Him in an intimate way. Not a God way out there, but a personal God right here, who's involved in my everyday activities of life, because that's who He is. And I'm so excited as we open up the Bible to Mark chapter 1 that we are going to get to see this personal God involved in the lives of people just like you and just like me. And it's so exciting for me to be able to see that He wants to have that intimacy with us, and He wants to demonstrate to us the deity not only of who He is, but the reality of His humanity. So that you and I can not only love Him for it, but we can go to Him with our humanity. We can go to Him with our struggles. So open up your Bible to Mark chapter 1, and we are going to look at, starting at verse 14. There's four things I'm going to cover in this topic tonight, and I want you to be able to follow along with me about the power of God. Now, I was thinking about this today as I was reviewing our lesson today because I taught a Bible study this morning. I had the privilege of meeting on Wednesday morning with about 9 or 10 women that are learning to discover what it means to be a follower of Christ. These are women that have been raised in the church, but they don't really know what it means to be a follower of Christ. So we talked this morning even, coincided with this, about the power of God. And I went and I looked up the word power. And do you know that power, it says, is the capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events? You see, when you and I fall in love with Jesus, we fall in love with a powerful God. Who, as we look through this passage of Scripture, we're going to see how the power of God changed the course of people's lives. From calling them to be disciples, to delivering them from demonic oppression, to healing them of their sicknesses, to demonstrating it through prayer. And do you realize that the power of God lives inside of every single believer? I don't have more power than you have if you and I have the same God living inside of us. But what we aren't doing is we're not allowing that power to be manifested through our lives in our daily activities. You know what we're allowing into our lives? The fear of the news, the fear of what's happening on the internet. I forgot to pray for the hurricane people. I'm so sorry. I'll have to remember that. I looked at you and I went, yeah. You know, we look around us and fear is what dictates to our lives how we're going to live. Or maybe in your life, it's not fear. It might be a lack of resources. Maybe you're struggling financially. Or maybe your health is what dictates to you. Or maybe it's your past that controls you. And we're not allowing ourselves as God's children to be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. And the reality of it is when God came into your life, His power totally changed the course of your life. It was His power at work within you. So as we open up our Bibles here to Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 14, we're going to read how the power of God's call on the very beginning of His disciples changed the course of their lives. It says here in verse 14, after John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Do you know that the word gospel means good news? Do you know that Jesus Christ is the gospel? He went out and he proclaimed the gospel. He proclaimed the good news in the area of Galilee. The gospel has not changed on October the 5th, 2016. The good news is still repent and believe. The good news is still about God. It's not good news of who's going to be president. It's not the good news of what's the fashion for the fall. It's not the good news I sold my house. That's not it. The good news, the gospel, is Jesus Christ, the Savior. And Jesus proclaimed that message. And do you realize that the gospel is presented in repent and believe? And if we want to understand what the real meaning of salvation is, it begins with repentance. Do you know the power there is when you and I repent from our sins? Do you know what it means to repent? To repent of your sins means to acknowledge that you have sin in your life and to confess it before God. Not like, oops, I'm sorry. Oops, I got caught. No, it's to recognize that you have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And you believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he died to pay a price you could never pay. And you believe that with all your heart and you invite him in. That's good news. That's resurrected power, because Jesus takes a dead soul that repents and believes and raises it from the dead and gives them new life in Christ. And that new life changes the course of their life for all of eternity, does it not? When you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he changed the course of our life. But then why is it that we still keep living our life the same way we lived it before we got saved? We keep doing the same thing. We keep acting the same way. We keep thinking the same way. We've got to realize that the power of God not only saved you, and not just for heaven, he saved you for now. He gave you the power today to live a life for him. And that power came when he called you to himself. Isn't that awesome? We didn't just come to God because we thought, oh, that's a good idea. No, God called you to himself and you came. You yielded. You saw yourself as a sinner and repented of your sins. And you believed, you accepted, you received the gift of eternal life. And the whole course of your life took a completely different direction. And so we go on to see that as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with his hired hands, and they followed him. You see, when God calls you, it demands a change in your life. The power of the call of God on your life calls you for wholehearted commitment. Not, oh, when I go to church on Sunday, oh, when I show up at Bible study on Wednesday. No, to be called by God and become his disciple means I am all in. I am fully committed. And my job is to follow Jesus. That's my job. And that's what we see when Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John. They left everything and they followed him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I didn't leave everything and go off to like Africa. God didn't call me to Africa. But when I got saved, I made a conscious decision to leave behind my sinful habits of drinking and lying and swearing, because that belonged to my old nature. And I had to be all in to figure out by God's power how I live for him, to do it God's way. And that's what it means to leave your old life, become this new person in Christ, and live under the power of his call on your life. Now, does that mean I do it perfectly? No, no, no. I still mess up. But the reality of it is because of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, he works in me and he convicts me of my sin. Why? So that I don't stay wallowing there. I don't stay living there. He wants me to know that he saved me and he transformed me so that I could become a reflection of who he was to my world, to the world that I live in, to my family, to the community I'm in, to the church I'm in, to the job I do. Do you see? I should not look like the world. The world should look at me and go, "What makes you so different?" And what do you and I say? It's Jesus. It's the power of Jesus in me. But what happens is we don't want to change. We just want to be saved. I just want to be saved and go to heaven, but I want to keep living the life I'm living. No, I don't see that at all with these disciples. If you and I want to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ, that means you got to be all in, wholeheartedly. Is that easy? No, it's not going to be easy. Because the reality of it is we still have to die to some of our things of ourselves in order to live the way Christ wants us to live. But remember, God is not going to ask you to do this alone. Because when he comes and lives inside of you, when you become a Christian, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, who comes and dwells inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Do you know you get all the Holy Spirit? Every bit of it. You don't get a little more the more you obey. You have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. Every bit of it. And it says in the Bible, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That's power, ladies. Right? So I don't have to live a weakling life. I can have the power of God living in me because I'm his disciple. I'm his child. Because of repentance and faith, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, the same Holy Spirit that lived inside of Christ. And that gives us power. Power to live in this world. Power to follow after him, even when it's hard. Even when I don't get it. Even when sometimes I have to say, "And yet will I trust." Why? Because I'm going to follow him. There is power when God calls you. And do you know what it says? And I hope you picked it up. In verse number 16, he said, he saw Simon and Andrew. And you go down a little bit farther in verse number 19, it says, he saw James and John. And he called them by name. He said, "Come, follow me." Guess what else it does? He saw you. He sees every one of us in the room. We are personal to him. We can be intimate with him. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what your past was like. He sees you exactly the way you are, and he says, I call you. Come, follow me. Do you know in the Bible, when you read a lot in the Old and the New Testament, you'll read some stories, and some guys will come up to him and say, what would I do to follow you? And he says, okay, you know, go sell all of this and come follow me. And they're like, well, I can't quite do that. Let me bury my dad first, you know. There's always a reason, because you know what? Following Christ is costly. But so is your salvation costly. Cost him everything. But he willingly did it for one reason, because he loves you. He loves you. So there's power in your call. Are you allowing the power of God to not only live in you, but through you, regardless of whatever situations you're walking through? Because you're not walking through it alone. God is walking through there and right there with you. And he will give you the power to be able to walk through that and bring him glory. The second thing I want you to look at is the power of his word. In the next section here, we're going to read that Jesus drives out some evil spirits. Verse 21 says, they went on to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed by his teaching because he taught with one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Quiet, be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. And the evil spirit shook the man violently, and he came out of him with a shriek. And the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. When you look at this, do you realize the power of the word of God? When Jesus Christ went into the synagogue and he taught them, the people were amazed. Because he taught with authority. Do you know that when you and I sit before the word of God, this has authority to do what? To change us, to teach us, to direct us, to convict us, to encourage us, to show us the way we should go. That's why, as a follower of Christ, you got to know what Christ wants us to do. You got to know the heart of God, because when you open this book and you read it and you ask God, show me, God, how to live my life for you. He will show you, because this is authority. And when Jesus spoke with authority, they were like, wow, this is nothing like when we sit in church on Sunday and have the people, the priests speak. Because they weren't speaking with authority. They were speaking out of duty. Jesus could speak with authority because it's his word. And his word transforms lives every time. You see, even the demons knew who he was. And could surrender and had to surrender to the power of his word. The Bible study that I'm teaching on Wednesdays with this group of women is basically taught by Priscilla Schreier. And she's teaching out of Ephesians chapter 6 on the armor of God. And it's something that we don't hear too often in our churches. It's about spiritual warfare. But ladies, spiritual warfare is real. But yet when you and I are affected by the areas of our lives that are causing fear or anxiety or doubt or maybe some disunity, we are oftentimes fighting the wrong enemy. Do you know that your husband's not your enemy? Your mother-in-law's not your enemy. Your coworker's not your enemy. Your ex-husband is not your enemy. Your boss is not your enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that your fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against the unseen powers and the principalities of this world. There is a battle going on in the heavenly realms that you and I with our physical eyes cannot see, but is very real. And it affects us, but the problem is we don't fight it with the authority of God's word. So when I find myself feeling anxious or feeling fearful or feeling doubtful, or I'm having a confrontation with somebody, I'm constantly saying, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I come up against, with the power and the authority of his word, I come up against this fear. I come up against this worry. I come up against this doubt. Why can we do that? Because you know what? Jesus told us to do that. He says, you ask anything in my name and it will be done unto you. And the only way that we can fight the spiritual battles that are going around is in the name of Jesus. It's through obedience to his word. It's knowing his word and it's speaking his word forth. Do you know the word of God? I hope you do. The Bible says that we are to hide God's word in our heart. Why? So that we might not sin against God. It didn't say God's word in your head. He said, tuck it in here so that when you are out and about and you are being faced with temptation and you are faced in a trial and you are faced with hurt and you are faced with the difficulties of life, the word of God will come up and it will well up with inside of you and it will comfort you and it will give you direction and it will give you peace. Why? Because it is living. God's word is living and active. And you and I, we need to hide it in here. And we can stand on the authority of it, can't we? We can stand and we know that even the demons have to flee at the mention of Jesus' name every time. Because it says in Colossians chapter 2 that when he died on the cross, he made a public spectacle of them. So guess what? The only control they have is the control we give them. So we must be able to stand on the power of the word. And Jesus Christ, his word is power. That's why when he walked into the temple and he walked into the synagogue and he proclaimed the word, their hearts were stirred because it was something that they'd never heard before and it came forth with authority. Do you stand on the authority of the word of God as to what it says? Because the authority of the word of God tells us how to live our lives. The authority of the word of God tells us who God is. The authority of the word of God reveals the promises to us. The authority of the word of God tells us how to have relationships with one another. The authority of the word of God talks about forgiveness and compassion and kindness and perseverance and character. And it's authoritative. So guess what? It's trustworthy. You can trust everything in it from the beginning of Genesis all the way through to the end of the maps. Everything in it. Don't pick and choose what you like, what's comfortable, what's easy. Obedience to the word of God is what will infuse the power of God within you. And that's what we saw in the lives of the people that sat under his teaching. So let me ask you, the next time you sit under the teaching of the Word of God, remember there's power there. It never changes. But will you change because you sat under the authority of the Word of God and the power of His Word penetrated into your heart and caused you to fall deeper in love with Him and caused you to have a greater understanding of Him and caused you to worship Him more? Why? Because the authority of God's Word was proclaimed. And there's power in God's word. The third thing we want to find out here tonight is talks about the power of his touch. There's two places in this passage. One starting in verse 29. We'll read that one and then we'll jump on down. We'll skip over to verse 41. But it says here that as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John and to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And they told Jesus about her. So he went to her. Look what he did. He took her hand and he helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought all to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many that had various diseases. He drove out many with demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Go down to verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him, and he begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Look at the next verse in 41. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, "I am willing. Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you do not tell anyone about this, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing and as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to freely talk and spreading the news about the results of what Jesus did. And so Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but had to stay outside in lonely places, and yet people still came to him from everywhere. Do you realize that when Jesus came into the presence of a demon-possessed person, he never touched them? He just spoke with authority and the demons fled. Fled is not a word, is it, Becky? They fled. But whenever he found somebody sick, he always reached out his hand and he touched them. Even those with leprosy that were never touched by hand. Because you see, there's power in the touch of Christ. There's power in the touch of Christ. And the power of God healed the sick. I still believe that there are miracle after miracle after miracle of how God touches the hearts and lives of ill people and they are healed. I believe that. I also know that we live in a world when we ask for healing and it doesn't come and they die. It wasn't that God didn't hear them. It wasn't that God didn't care. It wasn't that God wasn't able. It wasn't God's will. And their ultimate perfect healing came in their presence of God. And that brought him way more glory than if he would have healed them right here on earth. But let me ask you, have you been touched by God? Because there's a power when God has put his touch on your life. When he has put his hand upon you and has healed you. Do you know that his love can heal your past? His love can heal your broken heart. His touch can heal that wound that's been festering for years. If you allow the power of God's touch to heal you and you stop living in what you can't change. Because God will heal you and he will make you better. And the testimony you will have will be about what God has done in your life. About the healing that God has brought to your relationship that you maybe have with a parent or an estranged friend or sibling or spouse or child. You see, God is the master of healing, but we got to do it his way. And we've got to allow him to touch us in such a way that he gets all the glory. And Jesus Christ did that throughout his entire ministry. He touched people. And it says here in that section in verse 41, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. Let me tell you what biblical compassion is. Since we are the hands and feet of Jesus as his children, he is going to move in your life, in my life, and he wants us to reach out and touch the lives of other people. Do you know what biblical compassion is? Biblical compassion is this: you see a need, you have the resources to meet that need, and you willingly step into that need, and you meet it without any frustration, you don't draw attention to yourself, you just willingly do it. Because compassion says, oh my goodness, they need, I can, and I will. You see that? That's compassion. Compassion isn't crying. Compassion isn't, oh, I'm so sorry for you. No, that's not compassion. When I have the ability to meet the need of somebody and God lays it on my heart and I obey and do it, I'm the hands of Jesus. And I might bring financial healing to somebody at the moment, relational healing to them, because I saw the need and I was moved by the power of God and I willingly did it because of the compassion he's poured in my heart. That's what Jesus did. Jesus had the power to heal. He saw the need in Peter's mother-in-law. He saw the need in the leper. They asked and he said, I will. I will. You see, are you willing to say that? God, I will go. Show me the needs around me. Don't let me be so self-absorbed that all I can see are my needs and what I want and what's not fair to me and what I have to have and what I want to get out of and what I. God, let me see the needs around me. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear and give me the compassion to move. Now, I can't meet every need, and God doesn't ask me to meet every need. But when he shows me there's a need, I have one of two responses. To either have compassion and move and meet that need, or to go, nope, don't have time for that right now. I'll let somebody else deal with that. And we walk on our own little way. Do you know that there's power in the touch? When I used to be a nurse, boy, that was a long time ago, we were taught in nursing school to touch the patients. Because there's healing when you can give a gentle touch. Do you realize that babies, when they are in tiny little NICUs, they say put those babies skin to skin, because when the skin touches the skin and there's the touch, there's healing there. Babies develop better when you touch them. Your touch brings power. There is good touches and there are bad touches. I am talking about touching people with the power of God. And Jesus showed us how to do that as his children, didn't he? And that's what we're called to do. So the next time God presents you with an opportunity, move. As his disciple, move and bring him glory. Don't broadcast it on Facebook, look at me, what I did. Because then you made it about you. Make it about God. Be the hands and feet of the Lord. And the power of God will work through you and touch somebody else's life and possibly bring healing to that individual. Just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did. So you see, there's power in your call. The moment you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. And that's power, girls. We sometimes put a lid on the power, or we don't even want to discover the power, or we don't even know the power. But you got power because of God in you. There's power in the call. He raised you from the dead, man. You're resurrected power right there. There's power in the God who called you, and he put that power in you. There's power in his word. Are you in his word? Are you obeying his word? Are you hungry for his word? Are you living his word out? For that's what gives you the power in this world. And there's power in his touch. Will you be the hands of Jesus? Will you reach out and touch other people in Jesus' name? For there is power there. And the last thing there's power in is prayer. If you look at verse 35, we see that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus, God himself, got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you!" And Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to a nearby village, so I can preach there also. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. If you want to be prepared for ministry, you better be a prayer warrior. You better realize the power that you have in prayer. You see, prayer is what connects us to the heart of God. Prayer is when I get to come into His presence just the way I am and yield my total dependence on Him for who He is. If I want to be prepared to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus, to go out and live a life that reflects Him, to go out and be obedient to the Word of God, I better pull away to a solitary place and spend time alone with just Jesus in prayer. I have in my Bible, I don't remember where I've written it, but it's on the top of my Bible on the right-hand side, and it says, much prayer in private equals power in public. If you and I are feeling weak and drained and frustrated and insecure and fearful, let me ask you, how much time have you spent in prayer with Jesus? Because prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. Prayer allows us to see God for who He is. It allows us to be able to understand what God has done in our life through the gift of His salvation. Sometimes I think we use prayer as a 911. That's what we use it for. Help! God will be there. He hears the 911 prayers. But He also hears, I don't know what to say. I don't even know how to pray for this. So it says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit will pray for you with groans that we won't even understand. But because God knows us so intimately and He knows us so deeply that He accepts us for who we are, and He will even, through the power of the Holy Spirit, pray for us. But you and I need to follow the example of Jesus. He was perfect. Why did He have to pray? He was God. Seriously. You know why? To show me my need for God. He was fully human and He loved fellowshipping with God the Father. Do you love fellowshipping with God the Father? Or only when it's convenient? Only when I have an ample amount of time. When did Jesus do it? Look what it says. Very early in the morning while it was still dark. When was the last time you gave up sleep to get up and spend time with Jesus? See, if you want to experience power in your life, it begins on your knees. It begins in the presence of God, offering yourself to Him as His disciple, fully and wholeheartedly devoted to Him. Here I am. You get all my flaws, you get all my insecurities, you get all my past, but I will follow You. Teach me how to do that. Show me by Your word what it means to live a life worthy of You, God, and please You in everything I do. Show me how to be compassionate today. Clothe me with that. Put the people in my life that I can communicate Your love to. Because that's exactly what a disciple does, is it boldly proclaims the message of the gospel. And you know what? It's not our job to save anybody. It's not. It's our job to tell people it's the power of the gospel that changes people. So why do we take responsibility for it? Why are we ashamed to say something? Oh, I might not know the right Bible verse. Hey, you didn't need a Bible verse. You just need to know about God and His love. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, are you a wholehearted follower of Have you left everything behind? Or do you keep still running back to that past? Running back to that bad habit? Running back to that horrible attitude? It's blaming it, oh, of course I'm angry. I'm German, you know, all Germans are kind of angry. No, you're not, you're a Christian. You can't use that as an excuse. I could say, oh my gosh, you know, we Dutch people, we're hard workers and we're clean. That's what the Dutch people are known for. Well, don't come to my house on certain days. But you know what? Sometimes I hide in my hard work. And God says, I don't want your work. I don't want your work. I want You. Stop working for for me and start serving me. Just serve me in everything that you do for my glory. Because you see, there's power. Have you experienced that power personally in your life? It's not only for some and not for others. It's not for, you know, a certain group and not for other groups. It's for anyone who says, I repent. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I believe Jesus Christ. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way I can have eternal life is to believe that when you died on the cross and you took that horrible death, you did it with me in mind. And I accept your forgiveness and I receive your salvation. Come and live in my life. The moment you do that, you have been given salvation and experienced resurrection power. And now we have the rest of our life on earth to live for him. Because someday in heaven, we will live with him in his beautiful heaven that he's prepared for us because of his amazing grace and power. Study his word. Not to just be puffed up and smart, but to be obedient. Stand on the authority of the promises. Stand on the authority of what he has said. It is transforming. And be his hands. Be moved with compassion because there's power in the touch. And never forget that when you spend time in prayer with your Heavenly Father, he will empower you to do whatever he asks you to do. Because you will fall more in love with him. Because he can't love you any more than he does right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you today and I thank you so much that you are complete. And when we are found in you because of your salvation and your grace, you give us the power to live for you. Father, I love you. And I thank you that you saw us just like we are. And you reached down and you chose us and you called us and you touched us. And you healed us from our sicknesses of being dead in our transgressions and sins. And you raised us to life in Christ Jesus. Father, if there's anyone here today that has never accepted the gift of salvation, may she not leave here today without talking to myself or somebody else so she can become your child and experience what that power of the resurrection feels like and experience a transformation. But for those of us who are your children, I pray that we are wholehearted disciples of yours. That we follow you wholeheartedly, not when it's just convenient, not when it's on Sundays, not when it feels good, but every day. Draw us to your word, Father God, the authority of your word. And Father, may we long to have intimacy with you through prayer so we can understand that we have the ability to live in this world for your glory and not be like this world. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.